Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. On this week's program, it's an overview of a brochure that I just finished writing called A Biblical Response to the Immigration Crisis. It's just a legal sheet of paper printed on the front and the back and folded in four quarters. So I had to cut to get it all on one page. But the beauty of it is its simplicity and its brevity. I mean, if you give people a book on the subject, most people don't have time to read it. You may send them a link to a YouTube short. They may watch it. But for some people, a short track or brochure works quite well. If you're dealing with an unbeliever or those on the political, theological left, in most cases, you only have a minute or two to make your argument. And it's nice to be able to leave the conversation with a follow-up and hand the person a gospel track dealing with the subject. You know, over the years, I've written about 30 different brochures on various subjects, about homosexuality and drug addiction and critical race theory, political parties, Christianity and Islam, Romanism, Hinduism, Jehovah's Witnesses, fear, anxiety, marriage conflict, just to name a few. I have political tracks, I have counseling tracks, I have cult tracks, I have evangelism tracks, and testimony tracks. And I have a whole list of subjects to turn into tracks that I just haven't gotten around to yet. You know, there are days I get into the track writing mode, but at least I try to write one track per year. I'm not a professional writer, but at least I make the effort. In fact, I'm not a professional at anything. I'm not even the best YouTuber. I'm the typical jack of all trades and master of none, but I hope that's an encouragement to you. Don't wait until you're perfect at something to do it. If you see a need, just fill it. Most good work that's accomplished in this world is done by average people doing average things. Now, my inspiration for writing these fourfold brochures came from a fourfold brochure written by the father of modern counseling, Jay Adams. He has brochures on various counseling subjects, but they are written in 8-point font and in very technical theological language. And I saw a need for something simpler for John Q. Public, plus a need for many other topics. And these brochures that I've written have become nice short Bible studies that my church members can read on their train commute to work. So this current track is called A Biblical Response to the Immigration Crisis, subtitle, Because We Love the Foreigner. The inspiration for this brochure came about after talking with my son who lives in St. Paul and who attends City Church. Remember back in January, anti-ICE protesters entered and disrupted the church service there because they heard that an elder in the church works for ICE. Well, these people are still protesting outside the church every week, and very likely, some group is paying for these people to show up and protest every Sunday, even more now that the weather is better. And they're out there saying vile things and waving sex toys, not what you want your children to see when you take them to church. Why protest this church? Because there are plenty of other conservative churches throughout Minnesota. But City's church is operating on the left's turf. Governor Walz's mansion is right down the street, and he has jogged past the church, and he has fist bumped all of the protesters. So in conversations with my son, the question came up, how exactly is the church to respond to these protesters? One could just ignore it and hope that it goes away. Well, we've seen in church history what happens when the church ignores rather than confronts error. Error only grows. Some suggest heaping coals of fire upon the heads of these protesters by offering them coffee and snacks. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. But that has a limited application for when your enemy is truly without food. Offering them snacks while they're protesting your church is probably not what the Bible has in mind. These protesters will certainly not play along with the charity. Another suggestion is to have a counter-protest. And some conservatives in the area have shown up to do a counter-protest, but some of them are political hotheads, and that doesn't win over many converts to the truth. So what would you do if this was your church? Now, generally speaking, I would do all that I could do to double down on biblical truth, to do everything possible to communicate truth. As in Paul's counsel to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, Timothy, if you're facing error, teach, teach, teach. First, I would hold a two-day conference at an arena in St. Paul called A Biblical Response to the Immigration Crisis, and I would invite some key conservative Christian leaders who could address this issue, such as Tony Perkins with the FRC, or Gary Hamrick, or Jim Garlow, or Rob McCoy with Turning Point USA Faith. And I would invite and organize all of the conservative churches in Minnesota to attend the event. The church needs to testify to the truth and be a testimony to the community. Now, here in New Jersey, I have a network of pastors that I know would cover my back and support my church if ever ungodly protesters came against Harbor Bible Church. Now, back in 1993 in the Twin Cities, liberal denominational churches held a conference there called Reimagining God, about 2,000 in attendance, and it taught feminism and lawless Gnosticism. And as the pulpits go, so goes the nation. And it's because of the theological teachings in the pulpits in Minnesota that Minnesota has become such a leftist blue state. Seminaries in the area are all theologically liberal, such as the Presbyterian Church USA Seminary right down the road from City's Church, McAllister College and Seminary. It's a hotbed of theological liberalism. Also, on the other side of the river is John Piper's Evangelical Bethlehem Seminary. And that ministry has been embroiled in controversy between those in the church who are on the theological right and those who are leaning toward the theological left. And the founder, John Piper, taught a non-involvement in politics for Christians, which many evangelicals have questioned. But now the results of that silence may be coming to pass. State leaders and voters in Minnesota have all become radical leftists. And there isn't this mass number of people who have been won to Christ in Minneapolis just because the church has kept silent concerning God's moral imperatives. In fact, it's just the opposite. And here I need to reference again a quote from Martin Luther. If I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except the little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ. However boldly I may be professing Christ, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proven. And to be steady on all battlefields besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. Unquote. So if I pat myself on the back because I'm preaching and defending the Trinity or the resurrection or the truth of the second coming, but the attack on God is his moral law, LGBTQ, abortion, globalism, that's where people are expressing their rebellion against God. If I'm not faithful to preach against those errors, I'm not really being faithful to Christ. And someday, when the Antichrist arrives, the church should be refuting his agenda when he comes to change times and laws. Daniel chapter 7. So back to this question of how Christians should approach the protests against City Church. I would double down on truth. Now, since I'm not a pastor in Minnesota, one way I can help support the truth is to do my part with this YouTube and in writing a brochure and disseminating that brochure, explaining what the Bible has to say about the immigration issue. The church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. We are here to testify to the truth. We are to be salt and light in this world. And in the Great Commission, we are not just to teach the doctrines of salvation, but Jesus said to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded, which includes what the Bible has to say about immigration and borders. Now, I've often pointed out that throughout church history, it would have been great if Christians would have immediately written rebuttals to those demonic books that have come on the scene attacking and contradicting biblical truth, such as an immediate rebuke to Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto, 1848, or to utilitarianism by John Stuart Mill's in 1873, or to The Descent of Man by Darwin in 1871, or a rebuttal to Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler in 1925, or to Coming of Age in Samoa by Margaret Mead in 1928, or even to Kendi's recent book in 2019, How to Be an Anti-Racist. And Christians did eventually write rebuttals to these anti-Christian worldviews, but usually only after decades, once the error spread like wildfire. A lie travels around the world while truth is still trying to put its boots on. But maybe this was still in the plan of God to first test the world. Well, anyway, with all of this talk about immigration, what's my one little brochure going to accomplish? Just last week, the Socialist Party of America, having thousands and thousands of members, announced its platform and position to eliminate the Department of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and to have an open border. And I doubt that these social leaders are going to read my brochure and change their mind. But if thousands of Christians do a YouTube and write a piece, or tens of thousands or 100,000, then it moves the Overton window. It moves the nation. If we all do our part, we can lift a heavy load. So don't be discouraged if you have a small footprint in this world. Do your part and leave the rest up to God. In the words of Keith Green, just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed and Jesus takes care of the rest. Or Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, who has despised the day of small things. And of course, Isaiah 55:11. The seed of the word will accomplish what God desires and succeed in the matter for which he sent it. So now let me walk you through the contents of this brochure. The challenge is to communicate the essentials in just a few words. I begin by explaining that the United States is the most open and generous country toward foreigners, leading the world in total naturalizations every year, close to 1 million. And this has been the number for the past 30 years. In 1 year alone, more immigrants are naturalized than the entire population of Vermont, Wyoming, or the Dakotas. Now, most people don't know this, but this truth heads off the mindset that immigrants are being denied, they're being cheated, that we're being uncompassionate, and that there's no way for immigrants to enter the country. There is a legal and open way to emigrate to America, and it's one that properly tests and vets, you know, potential future Americans. Then I explained that America has always been a nation of laws, and that stealing across the border and breaking in front of the line, in front of those who have legally applied for citizenship, has always been morally offensive to Americans. And most people reading this brochure understand this. Everybody hates it when someone cuts in line in front of them. It's selfish. It's arrogant. It's disregarding the needs of others. It makes a mockery of the law. Next, I include the following quotes about illegal immigration. President Barack Obama, 2005. We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked, and circumventing the line of people who are waiting patiently, diligently, and lawfully to become immigrants into this country. Senator Hillary Clinton in 2003, I am adamantly against illegal immigration. President Joe Biden, 2007, no great country can say it's secure without being able to secure its border. If an individual chooses not to use our legal pathways, if they choose to come without permission and against the law, they'll be restricted from receiving asylum and staying in the United States. Senator Chuck Schumer, illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. So do you get the point? The reader is having to face the fact that historically, even Democrats opposed illegal immigration. So what's happened in America today with this open border is something new. Quote, but over the past 10 years, some of these same politicians and parties have promoted an open door immigration policy, even allowing for caravans of thousands of immigrants to cross the border unhindered. Many NGOs, non-governmental organizations have advertised and financed these mass migrations, such as Pueblo Sin Fronteras, the UN Relief Agency, the International Organization for Migration, Border Kindness, Oxfam, etc. To legally justify this mass immigration, asylum laws were reinterpreted to mean that anyone facing financial hardship in their home country is by definition being persecuted and hence should be allowed asylum in the United States. Well, then I asked the question, what is driving this new promotion of illegal immigration regardless of social cost? And I provide four reasons that together have contributed to this new mindset. First, compassion and empathy. You know, for the average American, the plight of poor immigrants tugs at their heartstrings. Many conclude that border laws could certainly be set aside for the greater good. However, the negative social cost to America and to the immigrants themselves were not realized. Second, globalism. The new humanist ideology of globalism has laid the foundation for the public approval of unrestricted immigration. In the globalist worldview, nations and national borders are human constructs developed by the strong to oppress the weak. The biblical teaching that God established nations is rejected out of hand. Third, we have the new morality of personal autonomy. The full application of humanism has taken hold in America, so that submitting to some natural or external law is considered anathema. A person's self-will is believed to be sacrosanct and inviolable. People don't want to be told what to do, and they don't want others to also be told what to do. Freedom is now defined as freedom from law. So what used to be considered immoral is now considered moral virtue. Standing up for one's autonomous self, as in biblical prophecy, as Jesus explained, lawlessness will increase in the last days. The mindset of lawlessness and the affirming of people is a key component behind open borders, that people should be allowed to do whatever they want to do. And reason number four, political parties looking for new voters, particularly the Democrat Party. Party insiders are opening the border to change voter demographics. After the Civil War, the Democrat Party, in supporting slavery, lost all moral authority. The party was about to collapse, but at the beginning of the 20th century, it was saved by promising government assistance to the massive influx of immigrants. And the Democrat Party has never forgotten that lesson. Now, in this brochure, I could have included more reasons, such as the need for cheap labor to compete with China. How can America compete with 1 billion Chinese who are making $3 an hour? Unless we develop a low-cost workforce in America. I could have also included the fact that there are foreigners and organizations that want to destroy America by overwhelming the system, what communists call the Cloward-Piven strategy. But I didn't have time to go into all that. Then in this brochure, I explained the biblical teaching on the subject of immigration, because apart from a revelation from God, how can we know right from wrong? And without God, all things are permissible. First, the truth that God established nations and borders. And here I explain Genesis 10:25 and Acts 17:25, where God created the nations and divided up mankind. Nations are not human constructs, but they're ordained by God. And what God has separated, let no man unseparate. Even in the book of the Revelation, God is still referring to mankind in terms of national divisions. A disbelief and a disrespect for God's establishment of the nations and the boundaries is the mindset that advocates for illegal immigration. And here I insert a paragraph about what the Bible says concerning a sinful people losing their land rights. Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 18, if you do not obey the Lord, the foreigner among you will become higher and higher. And I explain the scourge of abortion and the secular philosophy of having small families as a destruction for a nation. Now, a second biblical point I make is in explaining the actual text that teach it's a sin to transgress national borders. And those Old Testament verses that speak of loving the foreigner, it's not about an open border. But the Hebrew word there for foreigner is referring most likely to a foreigner in Israel who was already naturalized and part of the covenant community. As in cases such as Rahab the Canaanite and Ruth the Moabitess and Uriah the Hittite. It's not speaking about temporary sojourners, but those who are part of the nation who have a different ethnic background. Here I also had a paragraph about how God's division of the land hindered mass immigration. When Israel entered the promised land, God required that all of the land be divided equally among all the people. So in God's perfect plan, if a foreigner emigrated to the land of Israel, some family in Israel had to sponsor that foreigner and surrender a piece of their own inheritance. God's plan certainly caused the Jews to feel personally the responsibility and the cost of immigration rather than placing it on some undefined other guy or the society as a whole. Now, my third biblical point on immigration is not what one would expect, but it's at the heart of the issue for the illegal immigrant. The danger of being outside God's will, being in the wrong place. You know, non-Christians don't even consider the will of God. They simply do that which is personally expedient. But Christians understand the importance of being in God's will. Whenever we do something wrong to get ahead, that thing will never be blessed of God. Such as Abraham, he left the promised land for Egypt. Look at all the trouble that caused Abraham. Or Jacob ran to Haran after cheating his brother. And David stayed home when kings were supposed to go to battle. And Jonah didn't go to Nineveh, but fled to Tarshish. You know, each time God's people are outside of God's calling, it resulted in loss and sorrow. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. I mean, if you lie on your resume in order to get a job, in that job, you're never going to be blessed of God. Don't expect God's blessing if you break the laws of the land. Romans 13, whoever resists authority opposes the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. And Christian missionaries give this counsel to foreign nationals, encouraging them to stay in their own homeland and help their country. And the fourth biblical teaching I cover is the danger of seeking wealth, seeking greener grass. such as Lot, who looked at the wealth of Sodom and moved there. His greed for wealth was his undoing. And Paul also warns Christians not to make decisions based upon materialism. 1 Timothy chapter 6, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I close the brochure by explaining that it's because of our love for foreigners that we must enforce immigration laws and limits. Yes, we need to be merciful to those immigrants who were deceived by NGOs that one can walk across the border and claim asylum on the basis of mere financial hardship in one's home country. And currently, the DHS is being very compassionate in offering $2,600 and a free flight home. And over the past 2 years, 2.2 million immigrants have come to understand the situation and have self-deported. Many for conscience sake, they're self-deporting in order to later apply for a green card and citizenship lawfully. And may God bless them. And if it's the will of God, may they soon become part of the 1 million foreigners naturalized in the United States every year. So that's the brochure. It probably needs additional edits, but if you want a copy, send me your physical mailing address and ask for one at godandcountryradio@verizon.net. So thanks for listening. Stand firm in the word, and may Jesus Christ reign.